Didn't tell you that, but we're looking at changing some of that stuff in that back room next week. So praise the Lord if you can come out and help. We'll have to be running stuff through the basement and stuff in the attic. So praise the Lord. Whichever way you want to go, we'll be glad to have you help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, last week we began to look at the subject of what are we as Christians supposed to do when we see the world in the shape that it's in right now. The evil manifesting itself in people's lives and in society in general. And we looked last week that there's a battle going on, and as Brother Jim is teaching downstairs, you know, we're at war. There's a spiritual war that's going on. And if you had any think, well, it's not all that bad. If you heard about the Grammys, I'm sure nobody in here probably watched the Grammys, but about the basically the blatant worship of Satan on the Grammy Awards the other night, that was blasted by people that weren't even Christians, about how blatant it was, how sickening it was, and that, you know, CBS tweeted out, "We're getting ready to worship." That was from the CBS website on their Twitter thing. So if you don't think that there's not evil and darkness behind a lot of things that you see on TV, you can't even watch TV half the time because things are just being forced down your throat. Amen? And so we see that there are people being used by the enemy to promote his agenda in blatant and perverse ways everywhere you look. Amen? But as I said last week, we're not just supposed to wring our hands and say, oh, it's just the end times, as we read in 2 Timothy, that perilous times will come. We're not just supposed to shrink back. It's time for the church to stand up and say, you know what? This is garbage. We're not taking this anymore. Amen? You're pushing way too hard. You're not going to tell us how we are to raise our kids and our grandkids and that you know what's best for them, because you're just operating in ignorance. Amen? And it's time for the church to take a stand and say, no more. The church has been told, we don't want to hear from you. We don't want your opinion. You're old-fashioned. Well, we don't care what you think. Amen? We're going to live how we live. We're going to do what we're going to do. And we're going to tell you that how you're living is wrong, whether you like it or not. Whether you consider it hate speech or whatever, it's the truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are people who are blinded by the enemy, falling prey to his deceit and his perversion of the truth. They come up with all kind of bizarre ideas about any and everything as it concerned God and mankind's relationship with God. There are people, vast amounts of people from all walks of life and stations in life, who are being controlled by the enemy, that are deceived to the fact that they're calling their own shots. They're just being played. They're puppets. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, we read it last week, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is the God of this world, little g. He's not a deity. That word is used as a magistrate or somebody who is to enforce the law, and we'll get into more of that later on. He's to enforce the law of sin and death. But Ephesians 2:2, the Phillips translation says, "To you who were spiritually dead all the time that you drifted along on the stream of this world's ideas of living and obeyed its unseen ruler who is still operating in those who do not respond to the truth, to you Christ has given life." There's an unseen ruler. There's the spirit of Antichrist that's here in the world, that's causing people to have a worldview, We should view things as Christians as through a Christian worldview. We're not to see things as the world sees things. Amen? We're to see things differently. We're to approach things differently. We're to interpret things differently. Amen? We're to be different. Amen? Not in a weird way. We're to be different in a way that people look at us and say, there's something about them. There's something different about them. They actually live the life that they profess. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's no doubt that we are in a war. The Word of God tells us that we are in a war. We looked last week that Paul told Timothy to wage a good warfare. Fight the good fight of faith, as we read this morning downstairs. It's a spiritual war against an unseen enemy. But remember this, he's not an unknown enemy. The Word of God tells us how he does things, how he moves, what his schemes are. It says we're not ignorant of his devices. You know, so we need to know and understand. People don't have a clue. There's a lot of Christians who don't have a clue. Let's just be truthful. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, hopefully you're there. Not being critical of them, just saying, if you have never been taught these things, if you've never read these things, then you're going to be ignorant of these things. Amen? We need to know how the enemy operates. We need to know why he's able to do some of the things that he does. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. You ever had a thought that was just like, what in the world did that come from? Amen? You ever had that thought, somebody didn't speak to you at church, or somebody didn't speak to you at work, and you had that thought, well, they must be mad at you. Right? They must be upset with you. And then you start dwelling on that. Well, did I say something? Did I do something? And then, you know, the next day, the same thing happens. And you just start even getting more panicked about, what did I do? I said something to them. I hurt their feelings. They're mad at me. And then the next day they come up and they're talking to you and you're just totally baffled about, well, what happened? What happened was, is that the enemy planted a thought into your life and you ran with it. Amen? What should have been just a one-page little thing, you turned it into a 40-page essay. You just made it. It's a contrivance. That word imaginations is basically a contrivance. The enemy, he throws that to all kinds of people. People who, because of the thoughts and ideas they have meditated on and believed were the truth, have developed strongholds in their life. Strongholds. They're strongholds that people have in their mind. They're strongholds that people have in their flesh. You know, there's strongholds, the worldview, a stronghold, situational ethics. Well, there's no moral absolutes. There's everything subjective. There's subjective truth. You have your truth and I have my truth. No, you can't have it that way. There's one truth. It's either the truth or it's not. Amen? No absolutes. Anything that separates them from God and the life he has for them. Many are in bondage to those ideas and they don't even know it. Remember, the God of this world has blinded people. They're bound. There's people that are bound by lust. They're bound by pornography. They're bound by their thirst for money and power. People bound by fear. People bound by addictions in their life. Amen? People that are bound by hate. bound by bitterness, bound by their sinful nature, and slaves to the God of this world. And we see it playing out in front of us every day. In the headlines, on the Grammys, on TV shows, promoting agendas, promoting thoughts, promoting ideas that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Amen. The thing is, they refuse to believe the truth. They refuse to accept it. Because of their ignorance of God's word, God's character, God's grace, they look at Jesus and God the Father as their enemy. That they're the ones keeping them from doing whatever they feel like doing. That religion keeps people bound. Well, religion does keep people bound, but a relationship with Jesus Christ frees people. Amen? It was once said, the power of deception is the ignorance of the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The truth they don't know is what is actually keeping them bound. So what are we to do? We're just supposed to say, oh, they're just hopeless. They're lost. No, we're to share the love of God with them. We're to accurately share the word of God with them. Say, hey, there's hope for you. People that are in despair, people that are depressed, people that are bound by addiction, there's hope. There's deliverance. Amen. We've got the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy doesn't want people to hear that message. He don't care if people come to church and nothing ever changes in their life. He could care less. He doesn't want people to come to church and they start reading the word and they start hearing messages that you can be free from that. You can be set free from that. You can have joy in your life. You can have peace in your life. Doesn't want people to hear that. You really need to forgive that person. I don't want to forgive that person. You don't know what I did. They did to me. No, I don't, but God does. And he says we're to walk in forgiveness. The only thing that unforgiveness is holding you back. It's imprisoned you. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about you. You've built a box around yourself and you've placed yourself in jail, in prison to that. We got to get over that. We've got a message of that. Amen? There's people that are bitter about things in their life. The enemy keeps them bound. They don't know the truth. We can look around the world and it's obvious to us the influence that the devil has on people. Amen? So, we can ask, what gives the prince of darkness the right to keep people bound and in the state of bondage and in the state of misery and the state of oppression? All that. Well, we're going to find out this morning. Because you need to know, What gives him that authority? He's the God of this world. Well, look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You got to go back to the very beginning. So, well, just don't know. I don't know if the devil's really real or not. Well, you better believe he's real. Amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1:26, a New American Standard reads, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" And God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the sky, birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Two key words here as you're reading this account of creation: the word subdue and the word dominion or rule. Adam and Eve were created to rule and to subdue and have dominion. The word subdue here in the Hebrew is the word kabosh, and it means to tread down, to conquer, to subjugate, to keep under, to bring into subjection, to make subservient. You know, those people out there that, if you just a vegetarian, I apologize, but you know, those that it's cruel and it's, you have no right to eat meat. Yeah, I do. They're everybody's equal. No, they're not. Mankind was created to rule and reign over this earth and to subdue this earth and to have dominion over it. The word dominion here is the word radah. It means to tread down, to subjugate, to have dominion. Sound familiar? When Adam and Eve were placed here in the earth and God placed them here, he said, "You are to rule and reign over this earth." To have dominion. They were the masters of this world. God placed them in the garden and he gave them a job to do. A privileged job to do. Amen. Look at Genesis 2:16 and 17. Actually, we're going to start in verse 15. You know what the first thing that God gave man? He gave him a job. You say, "Well, I suppose I don't feel like I need to work. I need somebody." No. God, first thing that God gave to Adam was a job. Right? Verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." Work. Amen? Supposed to work. God, right from the very start, first thing, put him in this awesome place. Gave him all the authority to do whatever he needed to do, but he said, "You got to work. You got to cultivate it. You've got to keep it." Right? That's what my Bible says. You say the same thing? I think that New King James Version says to dress it and to keep it. King James says that also. Their main responsibilities were to tend it or to cultivate it and to keep it. That word tend or cultivate or to dress in the Hebrew means to serve, to work. They were supposed to do something, supposed to get busy working as an act of worship or service to Jehovah. It's used that several times in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 19, Jeremiah 44, Job 36, and then they were to keep it. The word keep there is the word samar. It means to guard, to watch over, to protect. to keep within bounds, to place a hedge around about. Amen? Adam was responsible to work and to protect. Two things. Amen? He was responsible to serve God by working, and he was to cultivate the place that God had given him. He was also placed in that position to protect it. But he was God's anointed representative here on the earth. He was to allow the blessings of God, the life of God, the power of God to flow through him out to the rest of the earth, to flow from heaven to the earth. And he blew it. Amen. He was God's emissary. Verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, or mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. The only qualification Adam had to exercise his God-given dominion and do what God had called him to do was that he had to submit himself to the Word of God. And he didn't do it. Amen? The only thing. God placed him there. God said, subdue it. Have dominion over it. I've given you to cultivate it and to keep it. And the only thing I ask is you don't eat of that tree over there. And he missed it on several points. Amen? Not submitting himself to the Word of God allowed him and his wife to be deceived. Because he didn't do the first thing that God told him to do, and that was to build that hedge of protection around there. And when the serpent showed his ugly head, he should have drove him out of the garden and used a shovel on him, like we talked about last week. Amen? Or whatever he had to kill him. Right? He had every right and every authority to kick him out. And he didn't do it. He was required to protect it, to keep things within their bounds. There, look on over in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Several things here. You could preach a whole series off of that right there. Amen? The one that Adam was supposed to restrain and keep out of the garden showed up, and Adam failed because he was silent and passive in the presence of his spiritual enemy. You have an enemy. The Word of God says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. As we talked about last week, in the kingdom of darkness, there's death. There's theft. Amen. There's misery. Things getting stolen from you. Kingdom of light, there's life. Abundant life. The enemy wants to steal from you. He wants to rob you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take you out. Amen? You have a spiritual enemy. Just like Adam and Eve had a spiritual enemy. And when Adam didn't speak with authority, he stood there and was passive. When his wife misquoted the word, he didn't say a word. He didn't correct her. He should have said, no, no, babe, that's not what God said. Right? Remember, he said, we're not to eat of it. You get out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. This is Paul writing. He said, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his trickery, your minds will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The King James Version, I believe it says, from the simplicity of the gospel. The Word of God is simple. You just take it, you believe it, you apply it in your life, and things will change. Amen? When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross for you, and he died for you, and he shed his blood for you, all you have to do, you don't have to work for that. You don't have to try to earn that. You don't have to try to measure up. All you got to do is say, thank you, Jesus. I accept that and I believe that. And you're saved. Can't get much simpler than that. When you read that God came to give you peace and God came to give you forgiveness, all you have to do is believe it and say, thank you, Jesus, that because of what you did for me, that I'm under a new covenant now, a covenant of peace and a covenant of joy. And I don't have to try to earn everything in my life and be perfect, but I can live with you and get all that because I am the righteousness of God. And all you got to do is speak it out and believe it and accept it, and it happens. Easy peasy. You say, well, it's not so easy. Yes, it is. The enemy would have you believe it's not easy. Amen? He wants to add all those things in. Well, you got to do this. Well, remember that. You need to say this prayer a certain way. You didn't pray right. Right? Adam had every right to kick the devil out of the garden, but he failed to address the deception. And he allowed his wife to be deceived, and he also bought into the same lie. We need to remember, as I said last week, behind every stronghold is a lie. Behind every lie is a deception, and behind every deception there is darkness. The same spirit of darkness that was behind the serpent is still using deception and deceit today. Telling those people who refuse to listen to the truth of the gospel that there's something more. That if you serve God, you're missing out on something. If you serve God, you're weak-minded. You're a God yourself. Amen. You can become a better person, and you can grow in an enlightenment, and you can become woke, and you can do all this stuff, and you're going to become like God. No, you won't. You'll end up bound. You'll end up depressed. You'll end up frustrated because you're serving a lie. Only the truth will set you free. Amen? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, for centuries people have painted those who had faith as those that were weak, weak-minded. They needed a crutch. People need religion. Religion is the opiate of the masses. All lies. It's all deception. It's all coming from the same source. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 2 tells people, oh, you don't need to believe that stuff. You're smarter than that. You're smarter than them. That's the whole thing behind humanism. That mankind can just keep gravitating to perfection, to where you basically are God. Never going to be God. You looked in the mirror, dude, come on. Never going to be that. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 17. Says, these are springs without water and mist driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires and by sensuality those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, that by this he is enslaved. Promising them liberty. Isn't that what the devil did to Adam and Eve? He said, God doesn't want you to do that because he knows when you do that, you'll be like him. Yes, they already were like him. They had a relationship with God, walked and talked with God, were the gods of this world, basically. He said, nah, you don't want to do that. Do this. This is a better idea. Because God's holding something back from you. It's the same concept here. Promising them liberty. The word liberty is a word license. The liberty to do as one pleases. He tells people, yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. It's going to make you happy. Leave your wife or leave your husband and go with that person because they're going to make you happy. Nah, lie. Just take that little drink. Nobody ever got hurt by one little drink. Nah, lie. There's people that are alcoholics after the first drink they take. Amen. Promising them liberty. Say, you'll be like God. Do this. This is going to make you happy. Take those drugs. Do whatever. Whatever the enemy pops that thought into your mind. Amen. The word, he says, here, whatever. By what a man is overcome, in verse 19, to that he is enslaved. The word overcome means to make worse, to make lower, to be inferior, to be lower in station or rank in life. That's exactly what happened to to Adam and Eve. The enemy promised them liberty, promised them that they were going to be like God, that they would know everything that God knows. And what happened to them? Broken relationships. Amen. They lost their spiritual authority. They opened the gate for oppression and sickness and death to enter into mankind, and generational curses. The negative consequences of his failure has lasted for over 6,000 years. As you read and study the Word of God, it's plain to see that every bit of bondage is a byproduct of a lie believed. Remember, Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil." You know, he's a liar. He's been a liar from the very start. There's no truth in him. It's the biggest thing that the enemy uses is deception and lies. It's also the byproduct of willful ignorance of the truth in many cases and in many people's lives. Adam and Eve bought into the lie that by serving and obeying God, it was holding them back from discovering who they really were, that their eyes would be opened and their consciousness would be awakened, and they willfully chose to ignore God's word. And what happened to them after that was exactly what God told them would happen. They were separated from God. They died spiritually. They lost their home. All because of deception left unchecked. Amen? Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Everybody doing okay? Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Well, we'll start in verse 1. The temptation of Jesus. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Underline that, all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain." The word domain there is the word exousia, which is authority. "And its glory, for it has" what? What does it say in the King James? Verse 6. "I'll give you this domain and its glory for" what? "It's been given to me." The New American Standard says, "It's been handed over to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." And notice what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't address the authority issue. He doesn't say, "Well, you're lying." Right? He says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Delivered up. Surrendered. That word delivered means to surrender, to yield up, to transmit, to give over. It had been given over to him by Adam. He usurped that. Acts 26:18. Praise the Lord. We're not even going to come close to getting through my notes today. I appreciate nobody saying amen there, but Acts 26:18, the King James Version says, "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan." It's the same word used in Luke chapter 4 and used several places. It's that word exousia. It's the word authority. To turn from this authority of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, when we read that, where it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, the word turn here means much more than just doing an about face. It means to revert, to turn about, to return to a former condition. Jesus came and he defeated the enemy. Said he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He took the keys to death and to hell. We'll look at that as we go. He did all that. Jesus took back that authority that the enemy had once held, because his power, his game that he played, or whatever you want to call it, was that of enforcing the law of sin and death. If you sinned, you were supposed to die, spiritually and physically. When Jesus came, he never sinned. Therefore, he didn't deserve to die. Amen? We'll get into that a little bit more. Just laying it out there. Jesus took all that authority back. He said, "All authority has been given unto me." Amen? He took it back. And he gave it to you and to you and to you and to you. Anybody that's a child of God has been authorized to use the name of Jesus. Amen? Revert to a former condition. We have been, as believers, have been given a realm of authority in Jesus Christ. This authority is grounded in the original creative order that God established for man. And God had planned and has planned and intended it to be. It's a reestablished and reinstated order through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Our authority rests solely upon our relationship with Jesus and the choice of the believer to resist those things that try to intrude into your life. Amen? The enemy ever tried to intrude into your life? You have the authority, just like Adam and Eve had, in your realm of influence, to kick him out. Say, "Get out in Jesus' name. Get out of my house." Amen. Get out of my finances. get out of my marriage, get out of whatever he's trying to intrude in and bring death and bring misery, steal, kill, and destroy, whatever falls under those three categories, whatever he's trying to do, you have the authority, just like Adam and Eve had in that Garden of Eden, to build a hedge of protection around your family, around your finances, around everything that concerns you. And when the enemy shows his ugly head, you smack him upside the head with that shovel and tell him to get out. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. And if you don't, you're playing with danger. The choices you make, the things you say, the actions you take, and what you believe about what is happening around you determines whether God or Satan dominates in your life. As a child of God, listen to this very carefully. Satan cannot control you outside of your will. That old Flip Wilson, some of us remember Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. No, he can't. You chose to do that. Amen. He cannot do anything without your cooperation and your consent. But if you're ignorant of that fact, you know, being ignorant of something isn't a bad reflection on your character or anything. It's just you just don't know. If you don't know, you're going to continue to be dominated by the lies, the deception, and the darkness. Once you learn what's the actual truth, what your position is as a child of God, you can learn to walk into victory that God has prepared for you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As Brother Jim talked about downstairs this morning, we are victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:8, we'll close with this. Hallelujah. And we'll pick up with this next week. 1 John 3:8. We read it downstairs this morning. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy means to release, to set free what is bound. Amen. Before we were born again, we were in bondage to sin and Satan, but Jesus has set us free. Loose from the works of darkness that bound us like chains. It's the same verb that Jesus used when he raised Lazarus from the dead and he said, unbind him and let him go. It's the same word. Luah. Hallelujah. No matter what you were wrapped in, no matter what the enemy would try to keep you bound in, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You need to speak that over your life. Amen. If there's things in your life that need attention, that the enemy's trying to get in there, he's probing, you need to recognize that and say, nope, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Matthew 16, 18. Bind you. Amen. Matthew 18 also. Just bind it and loose it. Take authority over. You've been given authority. He's been stripped of all of his authority now. In your life. Amen. Still out there running rampant in other people's lives that don't know him. But in your life. You went from the losing team to the winning team when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. You went from playing from the Steelers to playing for the Bengals. Praise the Lord. You notice I'm wearing my Bengals collars today because I'm still in. We got robbed. We should be in the Super Bowl today. I'm not bitter about it or anything. Praise the Lord. Julianne also. Hallelujah. All kidding aside, we are winners. Amen. Whether you feel like a winner or not, you are a winner. You are victorious. Well, I don't feel very victorious. Doesn't matter. Do you feel righteous every day? You are the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what you feel like. It's the truth of who you are. It's your position. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus, Father. And we thank you and praise you. Lord, as we look at your word and as we learn more about your word, that we will just take it and accept it in our own lives and apply it in our lives. And Lord, that's my prayer for everyone here, everyone that listens to these podcasts, that they would just take what they hear, Father, apply it in their life, be set free in areas of their life, Father, that they're bound, that they're struggling with. I just thank you and praise you, Father, that you're just going to show yourself strong in their lives and in their behalf. And we just thank you and praise you that we are all victors, that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, because your word says so. And we just give you all the praise, we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.